Thousands of workers across Egypt have gone on strike, and today the government closed parliament in Cairo after protesters came on the grounds.
They've closed the parliament. Soldiers have entered to protect it. The first time the army has been on parliamentary ground in Egypt.
That sound today from Al Jazeera. Also today, Wael Ghanem, the Google executive who has galvanized Egyptians, today tweeted that a called-for protest for Friday in Tahrir Square will be, in his words, the world's largest funeral to bid farewell to 300 Egyptians killed during the demonstrations. But that called-for protest is in direct defiance of Vice President Omar Suleiman's demand that protesters leave the streets or cause or face a coup. We start today with Farouk Elbaz, a geologist at Boston University, an Egyptian who served as science advisor to President Anwar Sadat. First of all, Farouk, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
And what do you think, first of all, of these labor strikes across Egypt? Let me list off some. 300 slum residents in the Suez city of Port Said set fire to parts of a government building. 8,000 protesters in a southern province block a main highway with burning palm trees. They're complaining of bread shortages. Textile workers, medicine bottle manufacturers, sanitation workers, this is all in the city of Suez, are on strike. Your thoughts?
All of the workers in Egypt have been recognizing the fact that they are not getting a piece of the pie, not their equitable piece of it. And not too long ago, over a month ago, one of the ministers in Egypt announced that $400 a month is a very good salary for any worker with a large family. And the people just said, what is he talking about? How could you live on $400 and feed three or four members of the family?
But traditionally, are many of these, and some of them are state workers, we're seeing, are these people who had supported the government? Might these have been even some of the people who came back out in support of the government earlier, but maybe there's a tipping point where they're now seeing that their grievances are the same as the grievances of these, you know, beautifully dressed young men and women that we're seeing in the city.
The middle class.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Right now, the people of Egypt, all of Egypt now, is the vast majority, at least, of the population, see that there is a way, a potential way out of the mess that they are in, the mess that they have survived and for 30 years, and they want change. And they see a potential for change, and they see the courage in their getting together. And that's why they are right now doing this, and that's why the labor force is now joining in with the younger people in Tahrir Square or the labor force in some other cities and so on. So this is a very good sign of the fact that they are getting together and they are one voice.
Well, a good sign, we should say. Obviously, you're leaning towards the opposition, we should say that. A good
yes.
sign, but not for the government and not perhaps given this statement from the vice president. Now, he's come back to try to clarify the statement, meaning that it's not that he himself would have a coup, obviously, if the protesters stay in the streets, but he's warning them that there might be some crackdown. What are you reading into that?
The vice president is feeling his way through, because the vice president himself is a reasonable man. The prime minister now is a very fine administrator. And the vice president and the prime minister together can lead a group of people to fix things around and begin some change. But they're all still beholding to the president. And the people in the streets are just asking for one thing, for the President Mubarak to go. So this is really the remaining tipping
right.
point.
And we know the complications there, that they feel that would tripwire some constitutional requirements. They want there to be a smoother transition, take a little more time. But who emerges from the opposition to talk to the government? Let's just help us understand who the opposition is, because we're understanding that many of the opposition members that were in the meeting this past weekend were considered old guard. Now we have this Wael Ghanem, who's come forward, galvanized people by sobbing on television in response. You're smiling. It's sort of a
yes.
you're feeling. I almost see goosebumps on you because of this. What appears to be this moment with Wael Ghanem. But then we've also spoken to young people on the streets in Cairo, and they're saying we're not sure he's the one. Is he the one?
He's just one. I mean, he was a young man who started some things, and then he came to Egypt to kind of take part of the whole thing, that he thought that he had some place to play with it. And then he was arrested and locked up. And then he went out. And so the people that were starting the revolution did not really know him and did not hear of him until he went on television. And they started sobbing, and Egyptians love this kind of thing.
There's a Facebook page authorizing Wael Ghanem, again of Google, to speak on behalf of the protesters. It's drawn, 150,000 fans. He had said, he had sort of indicated he didn't want to be that leader. Today, he tells CNN just a little while ago, he's ready to die to bring changes to Egypt. But who are these other groups? We hear the April 6th movement, the Justice and Freedom Group, the door-knocking campaign. Who are these people?
Yeah, in some ways, it was an instant combustion of the people of Egypt. There was not a single leader. And in many ways, that might actually be good, because a single leader somewhere can make decisions for them. And these people do not want to make decisions, anybody to make decisions, because
But doesn't somebody have to be in a room talking with officials at some point?
There were all kinds of people that went in the room and they talked to the officials and they came back and said, yes, but President Mubarak will continue as he is and we will make changes slowly. And the people in the street don't want any of that. They have that one requirement, for the president to go and then we'll discuss. But if that requirement is overseen by the people that represent the groups, they will not take it.
Well, and tell us more. The April 6th movement, we know that date is important.
Yes.
Who are they?
Oh, they're a group of people that had been disgusted by the arrest of one of the activists and on 6th of April, and they continue to speak their mind, which is good.
And this had to do with a textile strike
The textile strike is for salaries, because the textile workers know that they are not getting their due in their salaries, and the company is making a lot of money, and they're not getting their share.
We know there's a campaign in support of Mohamed El-Baradei. Some people are saying that because he was out of the country for so long, he may not be accepted by everyone to be the leader.
That's true, because people like Mohamed El-Baradei and others that just step in and say, I can't represent you, they are not representative in real life. Right. These people can help in the process, but they do not speak for the people in Egypt.
Many of the people on the street, we understand, reject the Muslim Brotherhood because they've been around for decades, well, since 1930-something, and there's sort of a generational divide, but there's a Muslim Brotherhood youth group. Do you think that any Islamist group could rise to lead this popular
not
uprising?
At all. This is a notion of the administration. I do not know where they get it from, because the Muslim Brotherhood is maybe 8 to 10% of the population. They cannot do that much. They were not any part of that revolution at all. They were on the sidelines. Actually, in the first week, they asked everybody from the Brotherhood to stay away. They were fearing government retribution. They only joined when there were all kinds of wounded in the Tahrir Square, and they sent some of their younger doctors to help these kids, and that's okay.
Yeah. So you seem not to, we just have a few seconds here, but in just those few seconds, you don't seem concerned that there isn't one leader of this opposition.
I actually prefer it, because a leader can mislead everybody, and there is no specific person that knows all of the requirements of the people or is willing to speak for all the requirements of the people.
Farouk Elbaz, from Boston University now, but he served under President Anwar Sadat as a science advisor and has been helping us understand the situation as it unfolds in Egypt. Thanks, as always.
Thank you.